Okay, so we got to Yudzayim and Aleph, two lines down, very short daf. So we just had concluded that who the author of Masechus Midos was, and we said it was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I think. Right, we tried to say maybe it was Rabbi Yehuda, we said Rabbi Yehuda couldn't have been the author. So the Gemara says now, Rav Ada Brei de Rav Yitzchak, Amar, Hai Lishcha, the Lishcha is based at Tlam it's referring to. Iksai Miksai, it was looked at a different angle, meaning the Da'asi Mitzafon Mitzchazin Evidarom, if you came from the north, the Lishcha actually looked like it was in the south. And Da'asi Midarom, if you came from the south, it actually Mitzchazin Evidarom, it looks like it was in the north. So it's basically situated in the center of Lishka, and depending where you come, your perspective, it seems like it was in the opposite end where you were. So therefore, we assume, the Gemara is telling us, it was really in the center. So the question is, how do they know this? So we'll just look at, maybe we'll look at a Rashi here. Rashi says, Rav Ada bar Yitzchak Amar, Hal Lishchas Tatlaim Aksui Mikzei B'shtei HaMuktos Niras. It looks like it's in each corner. Sharucha Hi, it was very long. Vomedes Bimarov, it stood at the western part of the area. Umarechas Latzad Tzafon Vidarmik extended itself both to the north and to the south. Ar Karv Miktsel Shemikan Mikan. It almost touched the corners. It was very wide. In my picture, you probably have a picture also. Right, so right, very wide. Comes close to each of the corners. So, Gemara says now, how do they know this? How does Rav Ada know it was really so long and close to each corner? Umistavr, it's logical to say this. The Bimaravis Jumas Have, it was in the southwestern corner. So here's my diagram. My diagram shows it at the northwestern. Okay, but either way, it was definitely in the west, and this opinion thinks it's more in the southwest. So why do they think it's more in the southwest? Say mimai, mi dimariminon. For the fact that they ask the following question, lechem apanim al lechem apanim. They ask a stira about where the lechem apanim was actually situated. Umeshanin, and they answer. So what exactly is the stira before we get to the answer of where the lechem apanim was situated? So if you look at Rashi says umidaraminan lechem apanim. He says the have so let's get back to the, if we go back to the Mishnayos, we had a steer in the Mishnayos earlier. What daf was this on? It was daf Tezvav maybe? Yeah, see, I think it's Tezvav. We quoted that Mishnah in Midos. In Tezvav and Beis, it says, which where we started from yesterday. We started like earlier into Tezvav and Beis with that Tanan Hasam. So Mishnah says there that the Lishchas HaTlaim was in the northwestern corner, and then it listed three other lishchos without telling where they were positioned. So it said there's lishchas achosmos, lishchas beis hamukad, and lishchas lechem panim. So if let's say this way, let's say this is the north, east, west, and south. So we're telling us lishchas atlaim is in the northwestern corner here, and it starts to list. So the Gemara assumes it's going counterclockwise. We always assume we go to the right. The Gemara told us yesterday. So going to the right means counterclockwise. So this is Lishchas Beis HaTlaim. So the next one listed in the Mishnah doesn't tell us where. It just lists them. It says Lishchas HaChosmos, Lishchas Beis HaMukad, and Lishchas Lechem Panim would be the northeastern corner, according to this. But then the problem was the... made the other way around.
But we're finding extends that too.
Right. And the. Right, and according to the. Right, Mishnah explicitly says that in Lechem Panim was at the southeastern corner. Right, exactly. I have in You have two pictures here. You have two pictures of the steer?
Right. Different pages, but they're there.
Right, okay. So one picture, quote, shows where the Lechem Parim is in the southeast. That's when the Mishnah explicitly tells us that's in the southeast. Is that it's located in the Dromis Mizrachis. The other picture, which shows in the northeast, there's not a Mishnah that actually tells us where it was, but it tells us Lishas Beis Hatzlam was in the northwest. And that lists three more. It says Lishas Chosmos, Lishas Beis Amukar, Lishas Lechem Panim. Now Gemara assumes at this stage, well, it probably goes in the counterclockwise, that we always go Derech Yamim. So doing some simple listing of things, it turns out, according to that order, Lechem Panim would turn out to be in the northeast, not in the north-south. So that's the Stira. Again, one Mishnah explicitly says it was found in the southern eastern corner, and the Mishnah, based on assumption, they're assuming it was northeastern corner. That's the Stira.
This diagram always has it in the southeast.
Yeah, maybe you have ready the answer.
This is a diagram A that I'm missing.
Let's see. There probably is a diagram A you're missing. Right there.
Third,
I only have two. I don't have diagram C. Let's see these two again. Wait, Lechem Panim is northeast in both corners, right?
That's always here. And then the question is, if you're walking, then you come this way, and I'm not sure what B is coming from.
Uh huh. I'm not sure exactly.
Okay, either way.
But
I hate
morning. But the southeast was definitely where it was located, based on the Mishnah. It says it was in the southeast. And the northeast is just based on an assumption that the way the Mishnah had listed them.
How do you feel?
Baruch Hashem. So then the Gemara says, so what's the answer to this? So this is the last two lines of the Amud. Amar Rav Huna Mishaninan.
Yidzayim
and Aleph, yeah.
Already?
Oh, Yidzayim and Aleph. The Gemara asks, there was a stira, just to fill you in very quickly, the stira in Mishnayos, where the Lechem Panim was situated. One Mishnah says that Lechem Panim, explicitly it says, it was found in the northeastern corner, and southeast, right. The southern eastern corner was where the Lechem Panim was situated. And there's another Mishnah that says, Beis Hatzlam was in the northwest. It's going to get a little confusing. Then it lists three more. And so based on the listing, the Gemara assumes, well, we always list things in order of going right, which means counterclockwise. So going according to where it was listed, it turns out the Lechem Panim was in the northeast, not the north, not the southern, southeast, the northeast.
What is Lechem Panim?
The area where they built, the baked the Lechem Panim, which was one of the avodos done in the Beis Hamikdash. So again, is the Lechem Panim in the northeast? It's getting a little confusing. You might want to backtrack for a second. Whether it's in the northeast or the southeast, that was the machlokas again. Now, the Gemara is trying to prove right now is, it started off as saying that Beis HaTlaim, which we spoke of yesterday, although the Mishnah explicitly says it was really found in the, which corner did we say it was? Right, the Mishnah said that it was really situated in the center. This was an area that had four different chambers to it. And the Beis HaTlaim was one of these chambers, but Gemara says really it was in the center. It wasn't really so much to a corner. It was in the center, very long, whereby if you walked in from a northern entrance, it looks like it was to the south because it extended so long. It appeared that way. When it came from the south, it looked like it was in the north because it was so long. It looked like it extended all the way to the corner. When in fact, it never actually touched any of the corners. It just gave the appearance of touching the corners. So the Gemara is trying to prove from here, from the following question of Lechem Panim, which I'll rephrase again, that we see from this Lechem Panim discussion that in fact, this Lishchas Beis HaTlam, although it was in the center, is really considered part of the south. The southwestern corner. It's hard to say that you have to look at the pictures. I know Adam doesn't have any pictures. But looking in the southwest, it was definitely in the southwest. So the Gemara is trying to prove this from the Lechem Panim question. Again, the Lechem Panim question is as follows. One Mishnah explicitly says that the Lechem Panim was found in the southeastern corner. And another Mishnah says the Beis HaTlam was found in the northwestern corner. And then it lists, there's also Lechosmos there, there's also Lichos Amukah there, there's also Lichos Lechem Panim. So the Gemara assumes the fact that it lists it, it's probably going in order of traveling to the right. When you go traveling to the right, which means counterclockwise, it turns out the Lechem Panim, which is the last one, ends up being the northwest. So I'll show you the pictures here. So this is Lechem Panim is way, the Mishnah says explicitly, this is north, this is south. So the Mishnah says Lechem Panim is the southeast. That's Mefurish. Another Mishnah says Beis HaTlam is in the northwest. And then it says there's also Chosmos, there's also Mukri, there's also Lechem Panim. It doesn't say where they are, Gemara assumes the fact they're listed is probably listing it in order. But this is going based on this one. So don't look at these pictures. Look at well, your, we said the article pictures are not as they found them.
This is already on the
base. Oh, this is the right one. Yeah, this is the right one.
Oh, okay.
This is the question. Lechem panim based on the Mishnah. Lechem panim based on the way you walk around it. So that's the steer. Where is the lechem panim situated? They're going to try to prove from this the answer to this steer to tell us that Beis HaTlam was in fact found over here in the northwestern corner. See that image? This is the Beis HaTlam. It's very long. It wasn't at any corner, but it was still considered the northwest, even though it never actually touched the corner. So they're going to prove this from the fact that there's a steer in the Mishnah that's about lechem panim.
That picture is not the same direction as the other pictures, right?
This
north,
is...
North is which direction?
Yeah, this is north.
And those pictures?
Also, same thing.
Oh, the same thing?
Yeah, the other way.
So, the Gemara's not sure if it's in south.
They weren't sure if the... This is based on Tlam here. They weren't sure if the Lechem Panim was in the northeast or the southeast.
So
get right. So somehow they're proving from this stira. Somehow they're going to prove from this stira. They're going to prove to us that the Beis HaTlam was looked like this. That it was really in the south, even though it never touched the corner. We viewed it as if it was in the northwestern corner. That's what we're trying to prove. It's very confusing. Okay, so let's see how. But everyone has the stira. The stira again is Lechem Panim according to the first Mishnah, explicit Mishnah. Lechem Panim is in the southeast. According to a deek in the Mishnah, it seems like it's in the northeast, the Lechem HaPanim. What's the answer, says the Gemara? The Gemara is two lines from the bottom. Umishaninan, the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua, Mar Karchashiv Derech Yamim, Umar Karchashiv Derech Smol. Now, one of the Mishnahs is going according to going from left to right. One of them is counterclockwise, one of them is counterclockwise. Clockwise and counterclockwise. Okay. So let's see how this works out exactly. So, the Gemara says, if you're going to say Bishma Bimaravas Dromis Have, that the Beis HaTlam was in the south, in the western corner, so then Hainu Dimitarich Lechem HaPanim Lechem HaPanim. That's the answer. So, what does that mean exactly?
So, if it's in southwest, and you're counting clockwise, therefore, Lechem HaPanim was in the north, something. Southeast.
So again, we're trying to prove right now that Beis HaTlam, although it was in the center, it was a little bit closer to the south. Trying to say it was in the southwest. We're trying to prove this. How so? So again, if you assume that it was in the southwest, then it makes sense the discussion of Lechem HaPanim.
Usually the Beis HaTlam is in the south. It's in the southwest.
Right. So then why does it help us? Let's see. So based on these pictures, these images. So here, look. You have an image there also. So this is the Beis HaTlam in the southwest. Anyone who wants to look around along here. This is southwest now. Different than the previous one.
Southwest.
So one of them considers going from left to right. Either way, Lechem Panim is there. So the Mishnah that lists Lechem Panim third is talking about going clockwise. That's to the left. That's why it's listed third.
Clockwise,
Right. The opinion that thinks it goes southwest, you mentioned Lechem Panim second, is because you're going counterclockwise, and therefore Lechem Panim ends up being to the right. So either way, it's always in the same position. It's like the Mishnah explicitly tells us at the southeastern corner. But the question is, how are you ordering them? Are you ordering them based on the going clockwise or going counterclockwise?
Well, the Mistero, one said explicitly is the second, one said the third, or did one say that it's in the northeast, and one say it's the third?
One said it's in the southeast explicitly, and one just listed it third.
Okay, one said southeast explicitly, and one said third.
Right, so we're saying the one that listed it third, we assume we're going counterclockwise. Okay. Right. And the one that said southeast, because it said southeast, and I guess, right.
Counter is naked? Counter is naked?
Yeah, counter is naked, right.
Huh?
Right.
Counter.
Counter-terrorism.
It's negative.
Yeah.
Counter is to count.
To count, yeah, how much of the words are related. I don't think they're ready. Okay. So that's how we're proving this. So if it's in the southwest, that the base of Thumb was to the southwest, so everything makes sense. Okay. But let's see. Let's say it was in the northwest. Ella, the Gemara says, Iamrit, if you're going to suggest that Sfonis Maravis, that the Beis Islam was in the northwestern corner, so Sof Sof, my Teirutum de Lachem Panim, it's not going to work out as well, because if we, either way, no matter how you do it, because let's say you're going to say, you're counting counterclockwise, so what turns out is, if Beis Islam is in the south, is the northwest over here, higher up, northwest, and you do counterclockwise, 1, 2, 3, turns out Lachem Panim is going to be at the southwest, which doesn't align with the other Mishnah. So,
you go the other way, you end up in the northeast.
Exactly.
Either way, you're not going to end up in the south.
Exactly. So it can't be that it was the Beis Islam was in the northwest. It has to be in the southwest. And that's how we prove from this. There's no steer lechem upon him, and there's a Beis Islam, therefore, must be in the southwestern corner. Okay. So the Gemara says, therefore, El Lav Shema Amina. Is it not here we learn that B'maravis Dromis Have Shema Amina? It must be, again, that the southwestern corner is where the Beis Hatlam were to be found. So asks the Gemara, V'hamar Mar, Kopinos Sha'at Apone Lo Yehel Derech Yamim, the Mizrach, every single time, every corner person in the coin turned is always supposed to be to the right. Now the right means, I remember, I used to think when I saw this line, I didn't really know what it meant until you actually figure out how it works. If I say to the right, I think like right means that way. Right actually means turning this way. When you turn your right side of your body, as opposed to like going to the right. So when the kohen goes up to the mizbeach, so the order he goes up, let's say this is the ramp, he goes first, turns to the right, which is fine. He turns and sprinkles on that corner, the first corner. Then he goes to the next one, and then around that way, which is counterclockwise. As opposed to saying, wait a minute, that's the right way. So you face this corner. So, okay, I guess that's the point. Once you turn right, you have no other choice to go. So you go up there, you turn to the right. And you get to the corner, you're not turning, there's no right to go, so you're forced to go the rest of the way around. So it's not every single corner is to the right, it's just the first one's to the right, and then you just follow the rest of the trail on top of the Mizbeach. So if that's the case when it comes to these halachas, that every corner you turn is to the right, so then why are we counting, why are we putting them in order of left, going clockwise? Because we're assuming Lechem Panim, it was listed third, it only makes sense if you start counting to the left as opposed to counting to the right. To the right means counting clockwise. To the left means clockwise. Right? So we're doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the answer? The Gemara says, no, the only time we say kol pino sh'atapone is only hani mile v'avoda. When it comes to actually doing the avoda, when the kohen or kohen gadol does the avoda, we always tell him turn to the right. But here we're just simply making a cheshbon. We're making a list. We're including what lishchos are there. There's no halacha of counting in order of going to the right, going clockwise or counterclockwise. That's irrelevant here. It only comes to when actually performing the avoda. Okay. Says the Gemara now. We're done. We're completely done with all the discussions of the different measurements, the different shirim of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going up to new things now.
So where did we say anything about being long and then here it was in the opposite corner?
So before you got here, the beginning of the Gemara had said that Aksui Mikse, three lines down, it was very long. It looked like it almost touched each of the corners, the northeast corner and the southeast corner. The northwest corner and the southwest corner. And it appeared that way. If you came in from the north, it looked like the Beis HaTlam was so long it touched actually the southeast corner. If you came from the south, it appeared as if it touched the northeast corner because it was so long, it extended itself, you weren't really sure when it ended. The perception was a little bit off. So we see that was a little bit longer. So well, that was the appearance, but what was the actual positioning of it? That was the question of the Gemara. Was it more to the south or was it more to the north?
It never made sense to be in the middle because then you had to make an extra wall.
Why?
In other words, then you couldn't use the outer wall of the entire chamber as one of the walls of that corner. Why put it off the corner and then have to make this extra wall here?
Well, I think even according to the conclusion, it still is off the corner.
Yeah.
Because the Gemara says in the beginning, it never actually touched a corner. Right? That Rashi we saw in the beginning, it says, Ad karov l'miktsos shemikan mikan. It came very close to the corners. So I don't think it actually touched it. The question is why it didn't. I'm not sure why. Based on your article diagram, it seems like the walls here were a little bit thicker than these walls. They used 5/8 of sheetrock. They used 3/8 of sheetrock or something. You know. But But I don't know why. I'm not sure the reason.
Where were all these lishkos?
These lishkos was this was on the north part of the Beis HaMikdash, where the bottom half was in Kodesh. We had those. So you weren't here yesterday, but we had the little markers, and they're right here. Yeah.
This is helpful. It's Kalos too.
So this is Beis HaTlon, Lechem HaPanim.
185, 137, 135.
Right,
whatever.
Exactly. So this lishka here, this is Beis HaTlon, this is Lechem HaPanim. They were in the Kodesh. There's these markers that we saw yesterday. The top were whatever they were. They were in the Chol.
So you got the Nanim. Was it the Nanim?
The Nanasim. These are the Nanasim. These are the Shekhanos and these are the Tabos.
This is so
Nanasim.
That's a really good picture.
Right.
You stick with me.
Okay. Fine. Says the Gemara now. Shekoin gadol makriv chelak barosh v'notel chelak barosh. So we had a mishnah a few days ago that told us that the kohen gadol has the right to, if he says, you know what, today I want to be makriv the carbon, today I want to take a piece of meat, he has the right to do it. So the Gemara explains exactly how that process goes. Tana rabbanim. Ketzed makriv, chelek barosh. How does it exactly work that the Kohen Gadol decides I want to be makriv something first? Omer olazu, he says, this ola, ani makriv, I'm doing the makriv. That's it. I'm the Kohen Gadol, step away, I'm doing the ola today. Or he says, minchazu, ani makriv, I want to bring the mincha today. So everyone has to step back, and the Kohen Gadol has the authority to do that. Ketzed hanota chelek barosh. How does he have the right? What exactly is the process in taking the first portion of the karbonos? Omer, he says, chatezu ani ochel. This chatez today, I'm taking. Everybody step back. I'm the Kohen Gadol. I've got the fancy eight begadim. It's my turn today. I want to eat something. And let's say he says, asham ze ani ochel. I'm taking this asham today. Everyone steps back. Benotel. And he takes chala m'shtei chalos. He takes one chala from the shtei chalos. So the shtei chalos referred to on Shavuos, they brought two chalos as part of the carbon tzibur. The shtei chalos, it was called. So the Kohen Gadol takes one of those chalos. That's what he gets. He gets half of it. And then he takes arba olchamesh mimais lechem apanim. So lechem apanim consisted of 12 different pieces of bread, loaves of bread, that went from Shabbos to Shabbos, and they would divide them amongst the mishmaros, the different guards and posts. So the Kohen would change over every single week, so it would be divided among them. And the Kohen Gadol would get to have four or five of this bread if he chooses to. And Rebbe argues, Rebbe Omer, li olam chamesh, he always takes five, he can't take more or less, it has to be five. Shenemar, v'hayisol Aaron l'vanov, Aaron as the Kohen Gadol and his children to follow, mechzel Aaron, mechzel l'vanov. He gets half and half. Half goes to Aaron, half goes to the Kohanim. So anyone who knows simple math, half of 12 is not 5. So Gemara is going to explain that 2 of the 12 go to one place. The remaining 10 get split in half, 5 and 5.
That's why there's still tzaddikim today. They do kiddush on 12 chalos.
Is it based on lechem apanim?
Yes.
So the Gra did, he used to have two loaves of bread, and everyone has lechem mishnah. He cut them in half at each suda. So you have two loaves of bread cut in half, that makes 4. Times 3 sudos, that ends up being 12. So he was makpid to cut through both every single meal. That gave you the 12. Yeah, but I think the rabbis do the 12 loaves of bread.
I think.
Big chassidish rabbis, I think they do that. They also have like 12 cups when they do a kiddush or something, or benching, they have like 12 little cups also or something.
Well, they have to hand out all the shirah.
Right. At least 12. So the Gemara again says here, so in terms of the lechem apanim, so the Chachamim said the Kohen Gadol could take 4 or 5. We'll discuss each of the numbers briefly in a moment. Rebbe says, liolam, he always takes 5, which was half, but it doesn't really work out to half. Half of 12 is 6, not 5. The Gemara will explain. So the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, this seems to be very problematic, this price that we just presented. Why? Armis notel chelek chala achas mishnei chalos. So we first said the Kohen Gadol gets to keep one of the two chalos of the Shavuos, not the lechem apanim, the shtei lechem, shtei chalos rather, that was brought on the Shavuos, he takes half. Who says you're allowed to take half of the portion? Rebbe. The Rebbe holds you take half, the Amar, Pal Gashakil, he takes half. Because Rebbe, when it came to lechem apanim, Rebbe says you take half of the 10. Forget the two right now. Of the 10 lechem apanim, you take half. So just like Rabbi says you take five of the lechem panim, he's also the opinion who says you take half of the two chalas, which is namely one. So now what comes out is Eima Mitziyasa, but look at the beginning of this brisa is Rabbi who says you take half of the shtei chalas. And Rebbe is the Seifa that says you take half of the Lechem Panim, namely five. So Mitziyasa, who's the middle opinion, that says Arba or Chamesh, you take either four or five of the Lechem Panim, Mimaisa Lechem Panim, Asan Rabbanim, comes out, it goes according to the opinion of the Rabbanim, the Amrei Lo Shaka Palga, that you're not allowed to take half, the Kohen Gadol can only take less than half. So Ema, are you going to say that Seifa Rebbe, Ema Seifa Rebbe, look at the Seifa though, Rebbe Omer Liolam Chamesh. So it's a stira. Resha of a seifa, the beginning and the end is Rebbe. Umitziyas Rabbanim. So just to review, there are three stages in the Mishnah when it comes to the bread. First, it's everyone came to taking chalos, the shtei chalos on a teres. Kohen Gadol takes one. We'll talk about percentages. You take half. Who says you take half? That's Rebbe. So Rebbe is the resha. Next stage says, an opinion out there says, you take four or five of the 12 lechem apanim, or let's say the 10 lechem apanim for our purposes. That's not Rebbe. That's some other opinion. And then the last line is Rebbe says, of the lechem upon him, you take half of the lechem upon him. So the ratio in the Seifa is Rebbe, but the middle opinion that says you take four or five is some other opinion. It's the Rabbanon. So there seems to be an inconsistency who the author of the Mishnah is, or the Braisa. So explain to the Gemara, Am Rabbaye, Reisha o Mitziyasa Rabbanon. The beginning in the Mitziya, the first line and the middle line is all Rabbanon. Because even the Rabbanon will be Modi. Modi Rabbanon, Befrusa, Delav, Arach, Ara, Lemesa, Lekoin Gadol. You don't give, so what are you going to do? You have Shtei Chalos. You have two loaves of bread for the Shavuos. You're going to take one loaf and slice in half, so this way the Kohen Gadol only gets a quarter of everything that's there. You don't give it's not the proper way to give a piece of bread to a Kohen Gadol. You have to give him a full loaf. So since there's no other options, either all, half, or nothing, he has to get something. We have no choice but to give him half. But it doesn't mean the opinions to always get half. When you have 10 to choose from, you don't have to go 5. You can get 4. So therefore, we see that the Rabbanon are the opinion of the Reish. Even they'll agree to the Reish that you split the two breads in half, one to the Kohen Gadol, the one to the others. And the Seifa is Rebbe. When it comes to Lechem Apanim, even you split it in half as well. So now the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, my Arba, we'll go to the Mishnah, we have plenty of time, my Arba o Chamesh, the Rabbanon. So what does it mean that, according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, you take four or five of the Lechem Apanim? Is it four? Is it five? Why? So according to the Rabbanon, the Amrei, Nichnas Notel Shesh, V'yotei Notel Shesh, when they used to change over the posts of the Kohanim, the Mishmaros, so the entering, the coming in post, those Kohanim, would take six of the Lechem Apanim, and the one Yotei, the Mishmar that's leaving gets to eat six loaves of bread. The schar hagefes lasos, and the reward for closing the gates, they had a special schar when the entering Mishmar would come in, they were the ones responsible for closing the main gate, the main entrance into the Azara. They got a certain schar. That schar that they would receive for closing the gate, lo mishe ashem ashe bai, it wouldn't come from the 12 breads. By Mifle. They had some other schar. So again, whatever schar, we'll see in a moment, there will be another opinion that thinks the schar for closing the gates will actually be taken from the Lechem Panim. This opinion of the Rabbanon said the schar you get for closing the gate does not come from the Lechem Panim. So we have 12 loaves of bread. The entering in Mishmar takes six, and the leaving Mishmar takes six. Okay. Now, Butter Chada Mi Palga. So you take one off now. Why? Let's see. Batzer chada miplaga chamesh shakil. So why are you taking one off here? Let's see. So they have Rabbanon hold that you can't take a full half of everything. They hold you can't take 50%. So you can't take six, so therefore you could take five. You go down one, you take five. So that's what's going on. You take five, because it can't be six. So that's all there is. You take five of it. Now, that's how he explained that there's five. When are you going to explain that there's four? Because the Gemara said already, they were bun and held, the Kohen Gadol takes either four or five from the Lechem Panim. So Rabban said, you can't take six, because for whatever reason, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take half of everything. It's not fair to take half. Less than half. Less than half is five. Now, according to the Rabbi Yehuda has a different opinion on how to divvy up in general. How do you divide the Lechem Panim?
The Mishmaros are each taking...
Normally, they take six each.
And then, doesn't the Kohen Gadol get a share also?
No, only if he wants to. If he decides, you know what, today, this Shabbos, I want Lechem Panim. Okay, you could take, but you're not allowed to take half. Only less. The six is half, so you could take five. Five is the most you could take. He takes five, and the remaining seven, they have to divide however they divide it, four and three. But he doesn't always take. These are only when he decides to take.
But Rabbanan holds that he takes less than half. That's why it's the five.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda has a different way of dividing up the Lechem Panim in general. Forget the Kohen Gadol. In general, he has an opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, this is the last sugi of Sukkah, Masechta Sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Nichnas Notel Sheva, the entering in Mishmar, the one that comes in to do the Avodah for this coming week, they take seven. Why? Shtayim Mischar HaGefes Glossos. Because the Mishmar Nichnas, they were the ones who shut the door of the Azara. So they take two of the seven, really comes out for Schar of closing the gate. That's not part of the account. So two is there. And then the remaining 10, they split 5 and 5. And again, Shtayim b'schar gefes d'losos, v'yotzei no techamish. So you take from 5. So the entering in Mishmar, 2 for the closing the door, that's off to the side. And the remaining 10, they split 5 and 5. So now me'eser, now me'eser by miflig, you have to take from the 10, we don't look into the overall 12, we don't look at the 10, because the 2 go to the people closing the gate. That's untouchable. Of the 10 left, by miflag, you have to divide it, but zechada, miplaga, you can't take half of that, because Rabban hold, for whatever reason, you're not allowed to take half, the Kohen Gadol can't take half. You take one off, so half of 10 is 5, minus 1, shakal arba, your remaining 4. So that's when the Rabbanan here say that the Kohen Gadol could take either 4 or 5. He says, according to whatever opinion, however you understand that dividing Lechem Panim takes place, it's either 4 or 5. If you hold like the Rabbanim, that they normally split 6 and 6, so then the Kohen Gadol could take up to 5. If you assume normally that they split 5 and 5, then the Kohen Gadol could take up until 4. And that explains the opinion of the Rabbanim. Comes on Rava. Rava's going back to answer the initial stira. The initial stira we had in the Brisa is, who is the author of the Brisa? Was it Revi or Rabbanim? First, we said that the shtei chalos of Shavuos was divided. One goes to the Kohen Gadol if he wants. He has a full 50%. And then we quote in the opinion of the Rabbanan that he says you can't get 50% of the lechem upon him. You get either 4 or 5. And then we go back. They say no. Rebbe is the last opinion who says you can take half of the lechem upon him. So who's the author? Is it Rebbe or Rabbanan? So we gave an answer before. Abai gave an answer. Rava comes along and gives a different answer. Rava Amar, Kula Rebbe. It's all Rebbe. The Savalak Rebbe Yehuda. He holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Meaning what?
There's a 10, and then if he splits it, he really only can take up to 5. Because Rebbe Yehuda can take up to half.
So then why does he say Liyom Chamesh? I mean, it says...
So why does he... So the Mitziyasa says he can take 4 or 5. Rebbe holds really he can always take 5. Because he holds like Rebbe Yehuda that there's 10 to split. And the Kohen Gadol could take a true half, unlike the Rabbanim, so you can only take one less than half.
No, but how are we saying it's all, when we say all Rebbe, it can't be meaning even if the statement of 4 or 5 is according to Rebbe. So we mean the Reisha is Rebbe.
I thought you were saying that the whole thing is Rebbe.
So how is the 4 or 5 like Rebbe then?
Okay,
Elamai Arba. Hachamish by Lemishkal.
It's always 5 according to Rebbe, because if you hold like Rebbe Yehuda is 10, and he could take up to half, so he could get up to the full 5.
If Rebbe holds, you can have a full 5. The question is, when are you ever going to have 4 then? That's a shiloh. Okay, fine. So Gemara says, no, lokasha. Hadika mishmar hamisakev, hadaleka mishmar hamisakev. Depends. Sometimes a mishmar has to stay over. So Rashi, I think, tells us some different situations when that happens. Let's say a yontif is very close to Shabbos. What would happen is, during the Shlosher Golem, all the Mishmaros, all 24 Mishmaros would come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they'd all split the Avodah among 24 families, and many Kohen would be there. So let's say your Mishmar was a day before Yontif. So you're going to go back home, you finish at Shabbos, and Yontif is on Monday. You're going to go Sunday, go back home to just turn back around to come for Monday's Avodah on Yontif, on Sukkot. Doesn't make any sense. So that family who worked there previous week got to stay over an extra day, and so they're there an extra day. So they weren't considered a Yotze, they're considered Nichnas, and they need some food to eat. So if that happens, if one of them gets left over, so then what's the din? Does Rashi tell us how you split it up? Let's see. Just, it's a long Rashi, I'm just kind of skim through here. Right, so the Mishra Shemes Akev, the Mishra that, that remains there, that's stuck, so he has to take, he gets two chalos. So what happens is, two chalos, according to Rabbi Huda, two chalos go to the people who close the gate. Two chalos now go to the Mishmar HaMisakev. That leaves us to eight left over. The eight left over get split between four to the Mishmar HaYotze and four Mishmar HaNichnas. Two go to the Mishmar HaMisakev, and that's how we divide everything up. Again, two for the closing the gate, two for the Mishmar HaMisakev, two for the Mishmar, four for, no, wait a second. They take an extra two. The Mishmar HaYotze, which is also Mishmar HaMisakev, they get four, and they also get an additional two for getting stuck over there. So and the Mishmar HaNichnas gets the remaining four. I guess that's how you split it up.
So what about the Kohen Gadol?
No, if the Kohen Gadol says, I want to take today, this
I
is
do
John.
Not want to.
No, if he, normally that's when he doesn't take. If he says, excuse me, today I want to take, he gets to take four. He can't touch the two that go for the Mishmar HaMisakev, he can't touch those. So four of them are untouchable. Two to the gate, two to the Mishmar HaMisakev. The remaining eight, he gets to keep the four, and the remaining four gets divided among the other Mishmaros that are there. So that's what Rabbi's talking about. That's the difference of four and five. So according to this answer right now, just flip back for a moment to Yudzayim and Beis. When the Gemara had said, Rabbi Omer Li Olam Chamesh, there's always five, that seems to go against what the Gemara just says. There's always five. The Gemara is going to ask that in just a moment, but you see that Aleph, there's an Aleph in the Gemara, which is a Hagos Gra, next to that Rebbe's line, Li Olam Chamesh. So the Gra writes in the inside column, he says, Roshim Kav Olav Lemacho. There's a line above it to erase the words Li Olam, and the Gra points out in the parentheses, V'ulai Mishim Dimitika Mishmar Mizakev Nota Rak Dalad. Because as the Gemara just answered, when there's a Mishmar that gets left over, you don't always, it's not Li Olam 5, sometimes it's even 4. So some people had a line crossing out the word Li'olam in the Gemara, that's the Gra's explaining based on the Gemara we just saw. So now finishing up the Gemara, Gemara says, the second wide line down, right before the Mishnah, Iika Mishmar HaMisakev, if there is a Mishmar that gets left over, left back, Mishmona Baila Mifleg, you have to divide between eight, and Vishakala Baila Mifleg, Vishak Arbi takes four. And you lack a Mishmar Mizak, even if there isn't a Mishmar that gets left over, may Eser by the Miflag Vishaka Chamesh, and you divide it among 10, and you take a total of 5. Ask the Gemara, what we just pointed out, Yehach, if that's the case, that it depends on the time, 4 or 5, my Rebbe Omer Li Olam Chamesh, Kasha. What does it mean the Rebbe says Li Olam? You always take 5. I'm not sure, we just said sometimes you take 4, Kasha. So it sounds like the opinion of Rava is a Kasha, and we prefer the reading of Abai, that really the Rabbanon is the opinion of the Mishnah, not Rebbe. Okay?
Sure.